Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. Well, we're coming into the most amazing time in the history of planet Earth. There were voluntary jubilees and there were forced jubilees. It has to happen. It's part of life. And we're coming into a forced jubilee that's actually beginning now, but really hit bottom next year. Most of my prophetic friends really see tough times for the United States and even the world economically next year. And if there's ever been a time to teach these wealth secrets, I have Craig Hill on the telephone, and his book titled Five Wealth Secrets 96% of Us Don't Know. Craig, you start out with the first wealth secret, and you start out with a Jewish family. Why do you start out with a Jewish family?
You know what I found, Sid, is that Jewish people many times don't understand a lot, or many I've met don't understand a lot about biblical principles, but they just naturally do them. What I found is Christian families many times study all kinds of principles and don't do them. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if we did both, studied and did? But Jewish families tend to teach their children from one generation to the next principles that work, that cause them to prosper.
Well, you know, as I've read your five wealth secrets, I found that before I was even a believer, these were intuitive things that I believe I got from generations back that did follow the scriptures.
I think that's true. I started the book out just with a little story about a father talking with his son, and the son is 10 years old, and the father's going to begin to give him an allowance. And so the father says to the son, "Son, I'm going to give you $10 a week, and you get to do whatever you want with it, but let me teach you a principle first before we start this. Son," it says in Proverbs 22, verse 7, "the borrower is slave to the lender, and the rich rules over the poor." Now I want to ask you this question. Would you like to be a master or a slave, rich or poor? The son thinks about it. "Gee, that's tough, Dad. Let me think a little." "I think I choose rich and master." And the dad says, "Good choice, son. Here's your $10. What do you want to do with it?" The son says, "Well, I've got a list." And he's got a list of all kinds of things he wants to buy. And the dad says, "You know what, son? You just qualified yourself to be poor. Son, let me give you a definition of a poor person. A poor person is one who spends 100% of the money he makes. A poor person is one who doesn't ever allocate his money for anything other than spending." He said, "Son, let me tell you what rich people do. Rich people divide their money into categories, and here's what they do. They tithe first. They give second. They save third. They invest fourth, and they spend what's left. Do you know what poor people do, son? They spend first, and then they try to tithe, give, save, and invest. And how much is left for those latter four?" And the answer is nothing or close to nothing. "So, son, we're not going to do that. I want to teach you from an early age. We're going to get five jars. I'm going to give you $10 bills instead of $10, and here's what we're going to do. The first one goes in the tithe jar. Now, that isn't even your money. That's just you managing money that belongs to someone else. This is actually God's money, and you're just an escrow agent. You're just a manager of this, and your only job is to take that jar and deliver it to the storehouse."
Oh, okay, so let me see if I have this straight. You have $10 bills.
Right.
And you have how many jars?
Five jars.
Five jars. So the first jar, you put $1 in, which just happens to be a tithe, and tell me what that is for?
That is to learn how to manage something that doesn't belong to you, because Yeshua said in Luke chapter 16, if you never learn to manage that which belongs to another, who will ever give you that which is your own? So the tithe is simply God's opportunity for you to learn how to manage something that doesn't belong to you. The tithe is not you giving 10% of your money to God. The tithe is you managing God's money, learning how to manage something that belongs to another, like you would if you were an escrow agent. When somebody puts money in the account of an escrow agent, it's not their money. They're just a manager, and their only job is to deliver that money to the house closing, for example, if it's an escrow for a house. So the tithe, I believe, is just God's opportunity he makes available to everybody to learn how to manage money that doesn't belong to them. So this father says that, son, that's the first jar. The second jar, we're going to take another dollar, and we're going to put it in the offering jar. And that is to give to ministries. That's to give to vision that you have, things that you want to support, poor people, disadvantaged people, people that have experienced tragedy. That's offerings. And then we're going to put $1 in that. And then, son, in the third jar, we're going to put another dollar, and that's saving for larger purchases you may want to make later. And the fourth jar, son, we're going to put $2 in that. That's for investment. And the fifth jar is for spending, and you get to spend that on whatever you want. So the little boy says, okay, Dad, I understand the Lord's tithe. I understand offerings. I understand saving. I for sure understand spending, but what on earth is investing? And the dad says, son, have you got any Gentile kids at your school? He says, well, sure. There's only two of us that are Jewish. Everybody else is Gentiles. He said, well, son, here's what'll happen. Most of the Gentile kids at your school, they'll get the same allowance or maybe even more than I give you, but their dad won't give them this teaching. So here's what they'll do. They'll put all their money in their pocket, and they'll do exactly what you were going to do. They'll spend it. And then Friday will come, and they'll desperately remember something they want to do over the weekend and not have the money, and they'll want to borrow it. And son, here's what you can do. Lend them the money. Now, don't even set an interest rate. Let them set it. Let them tell you what they'll give you. So sure enough, Friday comes, and Billy is running around school saying, could anybody lend me $2? Because there's a movie opening I desperately want to see over the weekend. And so so little Isaac says, sure, I got $2. Billy says, if you'd lend me the $2 today, I'd give you back $4 on Monday. And Isaac says, you're kidding. You give me 100% interest for 3 days? Why would you do that? He said, well, because I need the money so bad. Well, okay. Monday comes, $4 comes back, and guess what? Word gets out. Now he has another $2 from his dad. So Friday comes, he lends out $6 to another two of Billy's friends. And Monday comes, $12 comes back. Plus two from his dad, he's got 14. He lends out $14. The next week, $28 comes back. He's got another two from his dad, lends out the $30. 60 comes back, plus two. And this continues on through high school. At the end of high school, Isaac buys his first house for cash. Now, what did Billy, Bobby, and Sammy learn? They learned how to borrow every single week. And in the senior year of high school, a credit card offer came to their house, and they convinced their dad to co-sign, and they each graduate from high school with a $2,500 credit card debt. Isaac graduates from high school with a lot of cash, which he uses to buy his first house for cash. Isaac continues on through his 20s and 30s, and Isaac ends up being a major stockholder in a bank. Billy, Bobby, and Sammy, of course, never learn these principles. All they know to do is borrow and spend because they put all their money in one jar and spend it all. And so they borrow money from the bank that Isaac owns. And then, of course, when the wealth transfer comes and the Jubilee cycle comes and shaking comes, because they have borrowed and cannot repay, they end up losing their houses, which return back to the bank that Isaac owns. And Isaac ends up being a giver, being able to have a little bit of extra cash to purchase things during that wealth transfer. And so the first thing that I learned, the very first principle, Sid, is most people spend first and then they try to tithe or give. And they never invest in anything. If you spend first, you'll never be able to give.
And you know what I've noticed as a truth throughout life? You keep getting more money, pay increases, as life goes on. But whatever your pay increase, you end up spending that amount that year.
Well, that's exactly right. And if you ask most people, what's your financial problem? Do you know what they'll tell you? I don't make enough money. And all the expenses are too high. Somebody that tells you that for sure just desperately needs to read this Five Wealth Secrets book. It'll help them.
You know what? Another thought that's crossing my mind, and I haven't discussed this with you, but America is doing everything opposite of what they're supposed to do from even these five wealth secrets in your book.
Right.
We're trying to help all the other people, the 96% that are doing it wrong, and we just can't keep doing that. And yes, we want to help them, but we can't help them. What if the church taught these wealth principles to every member of their congregation, and the church took care of the needs of the people in their congregation, then the government wouldn't have to have welfare, and then our country could even be solvent?
I think that's exactly right. And if you look back in Scripture, an interesting thing, Sid, when it came time to build a building in ancient Israel, how did they do that? Well, they didn't go to the bank and take out a loan. They asked for offerings. Interesting, they didn't even touch the tithe. They asked for offerings. How much did they get? So much that they had to say, take some back. It's too much. When was that the last time that happened in anybody's congregation?
Well, I believe that as churches get, I hate to put it this way, but kingdom mentality versus survival mentality. I better not preach something because I'll lose a few tithers from my congregation. If the churches were kingdom mentality, if the individual Christians were kingdom mentality, at these wealth transfers, they'd become the wealthiest people in the world. And the wealth transfer is going to be this coming year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and it's interesting, if you look at why was Israel able to do that, why could they build a whole building just out of offerings? Very simple. Nobody was in debt. Everybody had only one master, God Almighty. Nobody had to report to MasterCard, their finance company, their mortgage company, their car finance company. See, all.
So, in effect, they weren't serving mammon, which happens to be another god. Well, our time is out, but I want you to get this amazing book, and I want you to teach it to every member of your family, your children, your grandchildren. Five Wealth Secrets 96% of Us Don't Know, and then the How-To CDs, 8 CDs. God's Power to Get Wealth, available for a gift of $45. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.